Miss Tina.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're here.
Me too.
I am blessed to be here. We want to pray for Tom Spence, who's in the hospital with pneumonia. Nita Cannon fell and damaged her left shoulder and fractured her neck, and she's now at Mercy in Oklahoma City.
Nita Cannon.
The family of Lonnie Ish, his service is today at 2 at the Raiden Baptist Church. Neva's brother, Hubert Dean Krober, went to his heavenly home early Sunday morning, and the family of Vandal Bishop.
Well, let's pray for these folks. Tom Spence is the one who was going to be here this morning.
Yeah.
And you're stuck with me because Tom had pneumonia. He didn't. Let's pray for Tom. Okay. Father, we bow before you today and just thank you and praise you for your grace and your care for us, your love for us, your telling us all this that we're talking about, how you care for us, how that you have given us the opportunity to prepare our hearts to be in your presence, not just now, but for eternity. And Lord, that you have nothing but our best in mind for us. You're here to heal our spirits, to heal our broken hearts, Lord, to heal our thinking, to heal the hurts that have been caused us throughout life. Lord, the point is you're here and you love us. And you care for us, and you're here to heal our bodies. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. Lord, we pray for Tom Spence. I just pray, Lord, that you just touch his lungs, and, Lord, just get rid of this pneumonia, and, Lord, get him back to bragging on you the way that, Lord, I know he wants to be doing. Lord, I pray for Miss Anita. I love that lady. I pray that, Lord, you would heal her shoulder. Lord, be with her as she's there in the hospital at Mercy. Lord, be with Lonnie Ish's family. As Lonnie has come home to be with you, we just pray for their comfort. Pray for Neva and her family. Lord, as her brother has passed this yesterday morning, and he too has gone. Dean loved you. Just pray for their blessing. Lord, I pray for the family of Vandal Bishop. I just pray, Lord, that you just comfort them and be with them. And, Lord, I know that everybody listening online, and Lord, Tina and all of us here, Lord, we have unspoken requests, people that we love that are hurting, Lord, that need a special touch. Lord, we need a special touch from you this morning. Lord, I'm going to add Sherry Hensley. Lord, this morning, just pray for Sherry. We need you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I switched gears and lost my thought. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. God loves you.
I love him too.
God loves you. You know what, Tina? He loves you. He even loves Tina's husband. I love Tina's husband. I grew up with him.
All right.
Just know what, and we just we and with in all this we're talking about is that God loved Adam and Eve, and God loved Cain and Abel the same. God did not love Cain any less than he loved Abel. God is even fixing to give him a second chance. Amen. To turn around and restore him to that place of the firstborn. Amen. That he lost when he didn't follow God's command. To come, and we see this not just with Cain, but with his descendants all the way down to Lamech. His family, he just passed on to his family this rebellion against God, if you will. But God never stopped loving him. Mm-hmm. But sin separates us from God. So, folks, just I don't want you, don't ever think that God doesn't love you. You may be hurting. You may be just almost to hit rock bottom. You may be laying on rock bottom. But there's hope. Look up. Amen. Look to Jesus and just cry out to him. And nobody has ever cried out to Jesus and hasn't been heard.
Amen.
God loves you. Jesus loves you. The Holy Spirit is right there for you. Yes. If you will just turn. I mean, all we have to do is turn. We don't have to go find God. This is a commercial break. And Adam and Eve sinned.
Amen.
When Adam and Eve sinned, they heard God walk. I love that. They heard God walking in the cool of the day in the garden. They said it right there in chapter 3. He was walking. And they were afraid. Why? Because they had disobeyed him. Mm-hmm. And they ran and hid in the trees, found the fig leaves, and started sewing themselves clothes to cover their some God. And then Adam and Eve, after they got dressed, they went looking for God. Is that what happened? Amen. No. God was walking through the garden, and he said, where are you? Where art thou? Man, God is still saying that to you, Tina. He's still saying that. Not to you and you guys. We're with him, but we still mess up. We all do. We all mess up. But God loves you. He's crying out to you right now. Where art thou? He's looking for you, and all you have to do is just turn, and just admit that you've messed up, and just say, Lord, I need you. Forgive me, and he will embrace you. In a heartbeat. If we don't say nothing else right now, that's the message this world needs, is that Jesus loves you. The theme for Falls Creek in 2023 is Jesus, period. I love that. I'm going to have a banner made for over here at the church that's Jesus, but I hadn't figured out how to make the period. You know what I mean? Period. That's it. I don't know if I want to sign or put a list over here. Nothing else. Absolutely nothing. Period means period. Don't try. You know what I'm trying to say? Jesus is enough.
Amen.
He's all you need.
Amen.
But Cain, he came. Well, what was wrong with Cain's offering? There's several problems with Cain's offering.
Excuse me. I need to do the commercial stuff real quick for the sponsorships. I'm sorry.
Why didn't you just tell me to shut up?
Because I love your enthusiasm.
I get excited about Jesus.
I love your enthusiasm.
We got some announcements to make,
and I'm
people.
So, I love when you come in when we need you.
We have fun. Thank you, Jesus.
Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City, Oklahoma. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God. The Refuge Church is now at New Liberty. They're located at 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. Gateway Church is located at 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Chasten and Brooklyn Music are the pastors there. And would love anyone to come just as you are. That means, let me tell you what that means, in case you don't know. It means you don't have to get sober first. You don't have to get clean first. You don't have to get drug-free first. You don't have to get alcohol-free first. Because I'm telling you right now, I can tell you by my own experience that the church is a hospital.
Amen.
For the physical and spiritual.
Yep.
And if you will lean in, you will be healed. Amen. The Lord will meet you. He will meet you because he's looking for you.
Yep.
Just like Larry said in the garden, he is looking for you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So just
call out to Jesus.
Amen.
Where you're at. It doesn't matter where you're at. Just call his name. Say his name, even if that's all you can do. You can join them for any of their worship services. You can follow them on Facebook at Gateway Church East City or on YouTube at Welcome to Gateway Church in Elk City, Oklahoma. Service times are morning service is 10:30 a.m. Spanish service is at 2. Sunday evening is at 6 p.m. And the Bible engagement has changed from Sunday morning to Wednesday evening at 6:30. And then following that is the Wednesday night Bible study at 7. If you have any questions, you can contact them at 580-225-4646. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
Barber Dice in Fort of Elk City is Western Oklahoma's auto service headquarters. With the largest team of certified technicians anywhere around, we're here to help you keep your vehicle running its best, Ford or not. No matter your make or model, you can count on us, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. And while you're here, shop our entire inventory with financing as low as 0.9%. Only at BarberDiceandFord.net.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is Pastor Larry Parvin. His title for this morning, Avoid the Way of Cain. Back to you, sir.
You were so right a minute ago, though. God didn't tell us to clean out our refrigerators before we come to Him. Come to Him just as we are, and He'll help us to clean out the refrigerator.
Monica couldn't do it, or Monica would have done it.
Can't do it.
I can't. I could not and cannot.
Nope. And don't try, and don't be bad. But Cain, he just brought some of the fruit of the ground. But Cain had a heart problem. Mm-hmm. It's why his offering was not accepted. And let's just for time's sake, we'll just get going here. But the first thing wrong with his offering was that he did not come by faith. We read in Hebrews 11:4 where Abel came by faith. I'm still here. I'm going to read that again. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, how did he do that? Because he accepted Abel's gift and not Cain's. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Jesus mentioned Abel in Matthew 23:35, something like that, where when he said that you, talking about the scribes and the Pharisees who were just cleaning the outside of the cup and not the inside when it got onto them, are guilty of the blood of all of the prophets, from the righteous Abel, Jesus said, all the way to Zechariah, whom you killed between the altar and the temple. So anyway, Abel's still speaking. His blood is still speaking to us today. But then over here, Jude. Let's look at Jude and talk about Hebrews, James, Jude. I got this. Jude right here in verse. I'm gonna go ahead and read from verse 8 because he's talking. Jude is warning about God's judgment and God's righteousness and holiness. Talking about how Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. But in verse 8 it says, yet in the same way these men also by dreaming defile the flesh. They reject authority, which is Cain was guilty of. They revile angelic majesties. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil, argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him any railing judgment, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, and by these things they are destroyed. And verse 11 says, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. What was the way of Cain? They reject authority. They revile things that they don't understand, things that are just natural by instinct. It's just natural. It should be within us as living beings that it's not right to kill another human being. Is that true? That's just wrong. I mean, we just know that it's in us. And but woe unto them, he said, for they have gone the way of Cain. So what was wrong with Cain's sacrifice? Let's look at just a couple of things. First off, he did not come by faith. He came on his own. He just brought his sacrifice, his grain, and his offering, if you will, denied that human nature was evil. And people are still doing that today. Folks I work with that say, "Well, my dad, he don't go to church. I never heard him talk about Jesus, but he's a good man. He'll give you the shirt off his back. He is loving to his family, blah blah blah." And they are, but hell is full of good people because they rejected the sacrifice just like Cain did. That human nature is evil, and is only that we can only come to God His way, and that is by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is what that lamb was a picture of. It's so easy to say I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. You need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're going to be separated from God for all eternity. It does not matter how good you are, and that's what Cain was doing. Mm-hmm. Cain didn't see any need. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not any worse than my little brother. God said, bring that little lamb, that little blood sacrifice that will point to the Redeemer who is coming into this world. Don't come by bringing just the fruits of your own hands. You and I don't have anything to offer God. The best that we have, the Bible says, is filthy rags. The second thing that Cain's offering does is denied the fact that man is separated from God because of sin. He didn't see any need for reconciliation. He just brought that offering and felt like God should accept him. And we do that too when we come to God and the church. We preach the universal fatherhood of God. God is the creator of all mankind, but he is not the father of all mankind. He is only the father of those who come to him through his son. Isn't that what Jesus said? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father or is of my Father unless they come to me. John 3:36, he who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Or the universal, just ecumenicalism, the universal brotherhood of man is... That's just not the way it is. Jesus taught that there's a wide road that leads to destruction. And how many of Cain's relatives were on the ark? There was only one, actually eight, but only because of one of Seth's descendants, Noah is the only one that made it on the ark with his three boys and their three wives. So you don't just get there by being good or your own way, or you've got to come God's way. And by the way, the ark that saved Noah and his family, and the reason we're still here from that flood, that ark is a picture of our ark, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to him, we are safe from the judgment that is going to come again on this planet. So we are separated from God because of sin. Cain's offering denied that man cannot offer works to God. You're not saved by being a good person. You're not saved by saying so many Hail Marys or doing the right thing. We could go somewhere else, but I want to go to Titus, 1st, 2nd Timothy. Titus 3:5 says that... He saved us, this is Titus 3:5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That is how that we come to God. We can't get there by works. Cain and Abel came from the same parents, the same background. No, there's not a Christian on this planet that... is any better than any other Christian. Would you agree with that, Tina? There's not a one of us any better than somebody else. There's nobody else over there any better than we are. We're not more important than them people that live down the street that are just barely getting by. We're all sinners that need a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to get a hold of this. But Abel came by faith. But Cain came without any recognition of God at all. Cain never acknowledged God, really. Because notice, and I want you to notice too, that they're talking. God is talking to them. God is there with them, just like he is with us. But notice he said in verse 6 of Genesis chapter 4, Cain was very angry. Verse 5, Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. He was mad. That's the wording here. He was just destroyed. He was mad, angry, mad. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why are you so mad, and why has your countenance fallen?" Look at verse 7. If you do well, what did he mean by that? If you will repent, if you will listen to me and come to me the way that you're supposed to and allow me to teach you, and will not your countenance be lifted up? And how does yours say that? Your countenance will be lifted up? Does it say you will be exalted? Verse 7. If you do well.
If you do what is right, you will. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted?
Will you not be accepted? But see, when Cain sinned and rebelled against God, he lost that first, the right of the firstborn. Mm-hmm. And it was going to fall to Abel. Cain couldn't take that. He was mad. He was angry. But notice what he said. If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain just got through receiving an offer from God that if you will repent and return to me and do what's right, I will put you back at that place where you fell from. And that same promise is true for all of us. I will do that. But did he do what was right? What's 1 Corinthians 10:13 tell us? There hath no temptation come upon you but such as is common to man. We all sin, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. He is there with us to deliver us from that temptation. Mm-hmm. Did Cain take God's advice? No, look what Cain did. But Cain told his brother Abel, he was angry, he was envious. He was just so angry and envy and jealous. And what does that lead to, does the Bible tell us? Murder. Right here's an example of that. And it came about when they were in the field. Cain took him out there. I can see him coming out there and saying, "Come on, brother, let's go visit." He said, I'm going to get that right of the firstborn one way or another. So he takes a rock, whatever, and that we don't know, but he killed his brother. And then the Lord said to Cain, "Where's your brother Abel?" And he said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" You know what would happen if I'd have talked to my dad? He said, "Hey, Larry, where's Leslie at?" I said, "I don't know. I ain't my brother's keeper. I'd have been picking myself up off the floor." But Cain has the audacity to talk to God, and I think he's speaking to him right there at the altar. And he has the audacity to talk to God that way. That tells you about Cain. This is why he was not accepted. That's why he didn't bring the offering that God did. He was rebellious. And he said to me, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." Cain's blood is testifying. The point is, you can't do anything. You can go out in the field, take your brother out in the field, nobody around, nobody witnesses, and you can kill him and bury him as deep as you want to, and nobody on this planet know about it, but you can't hide it from God. I don't know what your sin is in your life. Larry can't either. I'm talking to me too. I can go try to hide it in my gun safe, in my lockbox, at the back of my closet, hid behind a wall that nobody knows about. So hid back there, nobody's ever going to find it. But friend, God already knows about that sin. And he's offering you the same thing he offered Cain. If you will do what's right, you will be forgiven and you will be lifted back up and restored. I will forgive you. Amen. Jesus' blood covers all sin. There's nobody's sin any worse than anybody else. Don't go the way of Cain. Don't rebel again. Yeah. But that's what we're doing too when we say that, God doesn't care how we come to him. Yes, everybody's going to be saved anyway. God doesn't really care about your marriage relationship. You can marry how you want to. You can live outside of marriage. You can live as filthy as you want. God is still... That's not right, people. God gave us his... commandments and the way that we are to come to him. And it is for our good. And if we will listen, he will bless us and lift us up. You tell me. Mm-hmm. You witness to it. Testify. Every time I'm in here, Monica, you testify the fact of how blessed and happy and full of joy and peace you are since you gave it all to Jesus.
I remember planning murder. I mean, and I'm going to be really raw and real with you right now.
Uh-oh.
I was planning murder. I had the clothes. I had everything I needed to burn. And I was planning.
You had it fixed up.
I was ready to roll. And I, you know, and at that point in my life, I didn't care.
Yeah.
I was so angry. I was so hurt.
Yep.
I was so hurt and I was so angry at what had happened.
Yep.
And I was planning, and I, even as a 12-year-old girl, I would imagine killing the people, the persons that took my innocence. Mm-hmm. Because I was saving that for my husband. Mm-hmm. I was saving that for the man God sent me. And it was stolen from me. And I became so angry and hurt and bitter. But this last one, I was going to follow through with it. I was less than 24 hours from burning someone's house down with them in it. And I'm not playing. I'm being real and raw with you right now. And I sat down on my couch to make my final go ahead. The way I was going to go and approach their house to pour the gasoline and to light it and lay in the field and watch it and listen to their screams. I was that person. But God,
not anymore.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
But God spoke to me in that moment of my final planning. And he told me, daughter, he even called me daughter, Larry.
Yep.
He said, you will not come back from that.
Yeah, that's true.
Please, daughter,
yep,
you will not come back from that.
Yep.
So I hit my knees on the floor. And I just said, God, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I'm so hurt and I'm so angry and I am past bitter. He said, forgive.
Yep.
Bless them.
Yep.
And forgive.
Forgive.
And I lay down with my face on the floor. And I asked God to forgive me for what I was about to do and for what I had been planning on doing. And then I had to go the next step because Monica didn't know how to forgive that.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to forgive all that. So I had to ask God, Lord, I had to admit, God, I don't know how. I don't know how to forgive all that. I need you to help me get there. I need you to show me how to get there. How do I forgive that? And he said the sweetest thing to me in that moment. He said, I want you to pour all your heart out right here to me. Pour it all out and give it to me. And I will take you by the hand, my child. And I will walk with you through it. And I will help you. Mm-hmm. And every time, it raises his head. You come back to me every time.
Yep.
And you do it again. Yep. And every time you do that, you will be free. And more free, and more free.
1 John 1:9. Yep. Where art thou? That's what he's doing. Where art thou? Maybe he's probably crying that out to some of you out there listening right now. Where art thou?
Yep.
Just stop and allow God to speak to your heart.
Just pour your heart. He wants. That's
to.
All he wants is our heart. And if we will pour it out to him,
yeah,
every stinking bit of it.
Yep, yep.
Even the parts that smell like a carcass.
Well, he already knows it.
He knows it.
You're not
being honest.
But
if we're too proud,
yeah, well, see,
and prideful to admit it to the one who already knows it.
That was Cain's problem.
That's all we got to do.
It's going the way of game. Howdy.
Got the heat going.
Woohoo, we have heat, y'all.
I thought I felt something on my toes.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
A little switch problem. And,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yay.
That's Mike Smith. He's a wonderful guy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike Smith, for the heat. We appreciate you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, big blast.
Yep. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you don't give up on us, that you're there for us, you're seeking us, you're where art thou? And I pray, Lord, that we would listen, that as Monica said, Lord, we would stop, allow you to speak into our spirit, speak to us, and that, Lord, we would be obedient to what you tell us. Help us, Lord, to stay away from the way of Cain. Cain passed that on and on and on, and we see what happened to Lamech in that seventh generation. Lord, we don't want that for our families, and you don't want that for us. And I just thank you for your faithfulness, your forgiveness, and your love that you're ready to pour into us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I almost forgot we were on a program. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I almost forgot we was live on Facebook, y'all.
We just
having
church.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from Tina Dobbs, and from Pastor Larry Parvin, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Maybe.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.